Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We have cold air that is moving into the region right now. We have a freeze warning in effect for most of the state. I'll show you how cold it will be where you are and what you need to know about these cold temperatures.
And as those temperatures drop, Wake County leaders are trying to protect a vulnerable population where new white flag shelters are opening up across the city.
Plus, the city of Raleigh responds to an abrupt decision to cancel this weekend's Veterans Day parade. We're live with what leaders have to say.
Those temperatures well below normal. Tonight, there is a freeze warning in effect for our entire viewing area. We're glad you're watching. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. You think it was brisk this morning? Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner will explain why tomorrow morning will feel even colder.
Our skies are clear. We have a northwesterly wind that's pushing chilly air in. And here's the proof. Not as many people out here at Pinehurst Resort and Country Club. There's still a few, but it's breezy out there. It's chilly. And of course, once we see the sunset, the temperatures will drop rather quickly tonight. We have 41 right now in Roxborough, 45 in Durham and Raleigh, 49 in Fayetteville. Of course, we had 2 days ago temperatures in the 80s. Here's another look at our freeze warning, and it does cover the entire viewing area. Temperatures will drop into the mid-20s to right around 30 degrees. This will end up being the coldest air that we've seen so far this season and our first true freeze warning. So 29 in Durham, 26 in Roxborough, 28 Lewisburg, 29 South Hill, 29 in Goldsboro. This is what you'll feel at about 7 or 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. We head down to the south. It'll be 27 in Southern Pines, 24 in Robbins, 30 in Raleigh, 31 Fayetteville, 31 in Clinton. So everybody will be below freezing tomorrow morning, and that will mean the end to the growing season. We do have a big rebound in our temperatures coming toward the end of the week. I'll show you that coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. As we're preparing for temperatures to drop even more tomorrow, a drop-in shelter is opening today in Raleigh to help those experiencing homelessness stay warm. The Bryant Center will serve men and women in separate buildings on Cabarrus Street. The shelter has 150 beds. They're increasing their capacity tonight because of the cold temperatures. The Wake County Housing Director says the city and county gave $600,000 to keep the shelter open through April.
One person, even one, is worth far more than that $600,000 ticket that we're paying. But I do also believe there are many more that we'll be saving with this space this winter.
The city of Raleigh and Wake County partnered to open the Bryant Center. The shelter opens tonight at 7.
Veterans are adapting to changes following the cancellation of the North Carolina Veterans Parade. Organizers canceled the parade after learning the city of Raleigh would not allow motorized vehicles. Julian Grace is live from a VFW post in Cary with reaction to this decision. Julian.
Well, Jeff, I can tell you right now that fallout continues behind these doors right here where veterans are contacting participants, letting them know that the parade has been canceled. Now, this was a big blow to this community, but veterans tell me that they could no longer participate once the city of Raleigh decided not to allow motorized vehicles because many of the veterans need those vehicles to get around the parade route. Here's a statement from the city. We wanted to know more on why those motorized vehicles were not allowed. Here's that statement. It says, upon further review this week, city staff recognized the staff of the vehicle caravan planned through downtown created a risk to public safety. We spoke with the veterans group about the other options. They have since canceled the parade. We still have more questions on exactly who made that decision. Was it a recommendation? Was it a vote? We put those questions into the city. But Jeff, we do want to let the public know, and the veterans, they want people to know as well, that they will still have a ceremony at 11 o'clock on Saturday, just north of the Capitol, at the War Memorial. So they still want the public to come out for that ceremony at 11 o'clock on Saturday. Jeff?
It is a last minute change they're dealing with right there. Certainly. Julian Grace, live for us this noon. Thanks for that update. You can celebrate, as Julian said, on Saturday with a parade in Fayetteville as well. WRL's Gilbert Bays is emceeing the event. We'll live stream it on WRL.com and the WRL News app. WRL is a proud community partner.
Governor Roy Cooper is asking a three-judge panel to temporarily block a new law that would strip away much of his power to appoint people to boards and commissions. That hearing is underway at this hour in downtown Raleigh. WRL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie joins us live from the Wake County Courthouse to explain this power struggle. Laura.
You know, this is one of just several lawsuits that were filed by the governor and other parties this year against laws that were passed this year by Republican lawmakers. In this case, this new law takes away the governor's power to control who sits on important boards and commissions. These are boards that set policy and make big decisions, like the Board of Transportation and the Environmental Management Commission. Previous Supreme Court decisions have said the governor must be able to control who sits on those boards as part of his duty to execute the laws of the state. But state lawmakers have tried to find a way around those earlier rulings by giving some of his appointments to other officials in the executive branch, officials who are currently Republican. Cooper attorney Jim Phillips said this is just lawmakers' latest attempt to concentrate power within their own branch.
They seek to make the law and enforce the law. And that is what our framers warned against time and again. It's what the king did and what they were bound and determined not to allow to happen here.
To the extent that the governor has an ability to set executive policy, it is within the confines and the boundaries set by the General Assembly. The governor does not have unfettered ability to set policy.
Now, that's lawmakers' attorney Matthew Tilley. State lawmakers say, in terms of constitutional powers, the governorship in North Carolina is one of the weakest in the country. They say the legislature has always been more powerful than the executive in the state, and they're arguing that as long as they're giving appointments to other people in the executive branch of government, they're not violating the separation of powers. Now, lawmakers have already appointed members to some of these new boards and commissions, and a lot of them are going to be meeting here in the next couple of weeks. So that's why attorneys for Cooper are asking the judges to put the new law on hold while their legal challenge goes forward. Renee.
Laura Leslie live at the Wake County Courthouse. Laura, thanks. A big shakeup at the State Department of Insurance. Commissioner Mike Causey fired the chief state fire marshal as well as the chief deputy. He appointed replacements who start the jobs today. The moves appear to be related to a new law targeting Causey's duties. As insurance commissioner, Causey carries the title of state fire marshal. Republican lawmakers stripped him of that title. Causey says the change was made without his input.
We have updates on two deadly investigations in the Triangle. The first involves a car crash in Raleigh that happened shortly before midnight. Raleigh police say 18-year-old Jesden Bloomer lost control of his vehicle on a curve and struck the end of a guardrail. The vehicle crossed the median and came to rest facing south in the northbound lanes of Hammond Road. His passenger, 18-year-old Kyrese Dye, died as a result of his injuries. Bloomer is in the hospital with serious injuries. And in Durham, police have identified the man who was shot and killed on Glasson Street last night. His name is William Smith. Police say Smith was shot just before 6 last night. He was taken to the hospital where he later died. Officers believe this is an isolated incident. No word on a motive or any arrests.
Now to the war in Israel, where evacuations of people trapped in Gaza began today. The Palestinian Crossing Authority says more than 400 foreign passport holders would be permitted to leave for Egypt, as would some people who are critically wounded. Fewer than 10 Americans are believed to be expected to depart tomorrow.
And happening now in the WREL Live Center, we just received a statement from Chapel Hill Police about a Muslim student possibly being attacked on Franklin Street as we take a live look at the intersection of Columbia and Franklin Street right there in Chapel Hill. Now, according to this statement, Chapel Hill Police reporting the department is aware of a social media post describing an assault of a community member who is Muslim. We're working to identify and connect with that victim in order to offer support and investigate this incident. Chief LaHue went on to say the circumstances that were described in this post must not be tolerated in our community. Again, we are working with Chapel Hill Police, got some calls in the Chapel Hill Police in terms of the status of this investigation. We'll keep monitoring this story for any updates here in the WREL Live Center.
Today, the Federal Reserve will announce whether another interest rate hike could be on the way. Some economists believe Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell will likely leave room for at least one more interest rate hike in December. That announcement is expected at 2 this afternoon. The Fed has already hiked rates to a range that is the highest level in 22 years in an effort to fight inflation.
The Wake County Animal Shelter will remain closed until at least the end of the month after a recent outbreak of canine influenza. The shelter first put a hold on services on October 6th to help control the outbreak and safeguard the 156 dogs at the shelter. There are currently 30 sick dogs there, and sadly, four have died at the shelter. On a positive note, nearly 80 dogs have recovered. Next at noon, a safety summit for artificial intelligence, the global conversation being held, and the big names who took part.
Also, the state of Michigan says no one will face criminal charges for the Flint water crisis. What the former governor is saying about that decision.
Plus, Halloween is over. November is here. At 12:30, the retail trends to put you ahead of the game this holiday season.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Welcome back. This is a live look at Clinton. Beautiful blue skies out there. Not a cloud in the sky. And it sure looks pretty, but it is feeling a lot cooler than normal. We'll only stay in the 50s today. You're watching WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Global leaders are weighing the future of artificial intelligence in the place where computer science as we know it began. The vice president joins global leaders and tech CEOs deliberating the future of AI. Caroline Shively reports some policy experts warn the technology could pose a threat to humanity.
At the birthplace of modern computing, where codebreakers helped defeat Axis powers in World War II, tech CEOs and global leaders are gathering at the historic site for a new battle against time.
This is a moment of profound opportunity. The benefits of AI are immense.
The Artificial Intelligence Safety Summit focuses on the most cutting-edge systems called Frontier AI, which experts say could pose the most extreme risks, from cybersecurity breaches to bioweapons. Guests at the summit include Elon Musk and even major global competitors.
And yes, we've invited China. There can be no serious strategy for AI without at least trying to engage all of the world's leading AI powers.
AI could automate at least half of employees' work in the next few decades, according to the consulting firm McKinsey & Company. And it's expected to serve as more than a simple chatbot. The firm says it could come for white-collar jobs, too.
The use of artificial intelligence.
At home, President Biden signed an executive order this week trying to address the potential job displacement.
This executive order represents bold action, but we still need Congress to act.
That was Caroline Shively reporting. Industry leaders are also in the nation's capital, meeting with senators at an AI Insight Forum, as Majority Leader Chuck Schumer pushes for Congress to pass industry guidelines.
No one will be held criminally responsible for the Flint, Michigan water crisis. Prosecutors say they've ended their efforts to hold those responsible for the Flint water crisis accountable for their actions. City and state officials switched the city's water supply from the Detroit water system to the contaminated Flint River in 2014 in an effort to cut costs. It exposed residents to extremely high levels of lead. Former Governor Rick Snyder later apologized for the state's role in that crisis. Investigators are now allowed back inside the home where four University of Idaho students were murdered nearly a year ago. FBI investigators are back at the home this week, gathering documentation needed to construct a physical model of the home. This comes as the trial for suspect Brian Koberger has been delayed indefinitely after waiving his right to a speedy trial. The University of Idaho intends to demolish that house once the trial is over.
Back here in the Triangle, as we heard from Elizabeth earlier, tomorrow's morning temperatures will feel even colder. It is quite the change from the mild mornings we enjoyed all last week. WRL's Kelsey Coffey explains how you can take extra care when the temperatures plummet.
It's a chilly start to the day here at Fletcher Park, and we've seen a little difference in temperatures over the past hour or so. I have my WRAL weather app, and you can see here that it is 40 degrees, so 3 degrees lower than what we saw a couple of hours ago, and we are certainly feeling the chill. We caught up with the folks at Logan's Garden Shop to talk about what you should do with your plants during this cold snap. Here's what they had to say.
You're going to want to move those tender plants, anything in full bloom, right up against your house. That's going to help them greatly. Better yet, covered porch, maybe put them in your garage.
And something else to note, make sure that you're watering your plants. It's so easy for them to dry out as this air is becoming drier in the cooler temperatures. Be sure to keep up with our WRAL weather app as we keep you up to date on this frost advisory. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News in Raleigh.
Well, the forecast in California looks a little spotty on Halloween.
This is what happens when you leave the appliances out in the break room, everybody.
Oh,
yeah, I'm going to try. I've got a disembodied floating finger, so it's hard to get the rest of the...
Very clever.
Oh,
how
the magic of television.
We're going to try to... I can still point. And it looks like tomorrow, looking very nice...
He does. He has the pointer finger ready to go there. A meteorologist in Los Angeles got creative with his costume. Just a little tape and a green screen right there. Viewers could see right through him. He did leave the, you know, finger... pointer ready to go. He took his arm off. That's funny.
A famous television trick there with the green screen. But I loved how he took the green tape. That was creative.
Very creative. But old school also. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. We don't do that stuff anymore.
Oh, we can't do that anymore. I was talking to somebody about that today. Yeah, we don't have that. We used to have a green cape, you know, that we could wear. And, you know, we just have a floating head and all that. But this is... I'm not going to knock on it. I'll get in trouble. But that's the real thing. Giant LED monitor. So it's a whole brand new world. All right. Freeze warning for late tonight, tomorrow morning. We didn't quite get there this morning, even though we did have some advisories. We had some cloud cover that lingered a little bit longer. We didn't get our strong wind coming in really in time. But I'll tell you what, that wind is out there right now. Let's take a live look at downtown Raleigh. This is down Fayetteville Street. Boy, you know what a wind tunnel Fayetteville Street can be. So you can see the trees moving around. I was hoping we'd see somebody walk down the street, you know, hair blowing, all, you know, kind of scrunched up because it's chilly out there. But it's chilly. It's 45 degrees right now. And we do have a little bit of a wind chill. It's, you know, nothing dangerous, of course, but it feels colder even than that 45 degrees. Our dew point continues to drop. Our air mass is really drying out. So a nice dry air mass, the clear skies. If the wind begins to settle down, which it's likely to, we will have all the ingredients that we'll take to see really cold temperatures. Tonight. We'll climb to around 51, and then once the sun sets, we're back into the 40s. This is a look at our wind. Our wind is coming out of the northwest. It's got a tap on Canada, pushing that Canadian air right into our region. Right now, we're looking at winds anywhere from around 10 to 15, 16 miles per hour steady, and then everybody's seeing gusts at about 20 to even 30. Look at that, 31 in Rocky Mount. The gusts are in that white box on the right. So we're gusting from as little as 22 in Southern Pines, again to 31 in Rocky Mount. So it is a bluster afternoon. This is a look at our actual temperatures around the region. 41 in Roxborough, 44 in Southern Pines, 49 Fayetteville, 47 Goldsboro, as well as Rocky Mount and Wilson. And here's the wind chill. It feels like 33 right now in Roxborough, 38 in South Hill, 39 in Southern Pines, and 40 around the Triangle. So it's nippy out there this lunchtime. Actual high temperature will be 51 in Raleigh and in Durham and 54 in Fayetteville. We take a look at this blast of cold air that continues. It started yesterday. It was such a chilly day yesterday. It was a cold night last night. We got down into the mid-30s to around 40, but we continue to have cold air that's going to be pushing into our region, making for a very chilly night tonight. And then a warm-up after that. So we're not going to stay here for, you know, the next couple of months. 26 in Roxborough, 29 South Hill. This is what it's going to feel like when you step out the door tomorrow morning at around 7 or 8 o'clock. 30 in Wilson, 26 in Siler City. We head to the south. 27 Southern Pines, 30 in Irwin. 30 in Smithfield. So cold start for us tomorrow. 44 is our normal morning low, so we're well below that for the next several days. But over the weekend, we're going to see temperatures warming up. It should be a nice day for Fayetteville's Veterans Day Parade on Saturday. The parade begins at 10 a.m. downtown, 54 degrees, and we'll climb to 64 by the time the parade is over with plenty of sunshine. Around the Triangle, on Friday, 65. We're looking at highs in the 70s over the weekend. We do see our clocks moving back on Saturday night. We go back to daylight time, of course. So we're going to take a look at what our normal temperatures are. You know, it's kind of a big up and down 7-day forecast. What does it look like for us in the month of November coming up?
Happening now in the WREL Live Center, we want to take you 250 miles above the Earth, show you this spacewalk happening right now at the International Space Station. You're actually looking at the helmet cam from astronaut Jasmine Mugbele. She and Laurel O'Hara are working to upgrade the ISS communication system. The astronauts are also replacing some bearings, assemblies that allow solar panels to better track the sun. This is the 89th U.S. spacewalk at the station and the first for both Mugbele and O'Hara. The astronauts started to work around 8 o'clock this morning. It should be wrapped up around 2 o'clock, a little after 2 o'clock local here on Earth. We'll keep monitoring this story and update this story in our early evening newscast starting at 4 right here in WREL.
Thanks, Ken. People who use DoorDash might want to prepare to wait a little longer for their delivery. The new warning from the company that is not sitting well with shoppers.
A jury verdict is shaking up the real estate business and could affect how you buy a home. The law that jurors say a number of brokerages broke.
Hollywood actors and studio executives are headed back to the bargaining table today with a possible deal in sight. Four top studio execs from Warner Brothers, Discovery, NBC Universal, Netflix, and Disney will be there. The latest bargaining session dealt with AI issues. It has been 110 days since the strike began.
A federal jury in Kansas City, Missouri says realtors conspire to keep commissions for home sales artificially high. The ruling means the National Association of Realtors and several large residential brokerages are liable for nearly $2 billion in damages. The total penalty could triple to more than $5 billion due to U.S. antitrust laws. The lawsuit involved home sales between April 2015 to June of last year. Real estate experts say the verdict could cause major changes in the industry. Rising child care costs could force some parents to quit their jobs. A new report finds the average family spends more than $700 a month on child care payments. That's a 32% rise from 2019. The report says more than 12% of U.S. households regularly pay for child care. Families can no longer rely on pandemic-related emergency funding that ended in September.
It's a beer so strong it's illegal in 15 states, and it's back for the first time in 2 years. Sam Adams' Utopia's Brew boasts an alcohol by volume of a whopping 28%. For perspective, typical IPAs check in around 7%. Utopia's is described as being more like a cognac rather than a beer. It's not chilled, and it's recommended you drink it in small servings. The price for a 24-ounce bottle is $240. It's not available, by the way, in North Carolina. If you don't tip your next DoorDash order, it might take you longer to get your food delivered. A new alert pops up on the food ordering service app, and it'll ask customers if they want to continue an order that doesn't include a tip. Delivery people can see if that order includes a tip before they accept it. Dashers choose which orders they want to pick up, so the company pays its delivery people between $2 to $10 for each order, and they get 100% of the tips.
Now that Halloween is over, some companies are ready to get into the Christmas spirit. Hilton and the Hallmark Channel are teaming up to create Christmas-themed suites at hotels in certain cities. The move was inspired by Hallmark's Countdown to Christmas movies. Reservations open today for stays in the Christmas-themed suites. In New York, guests can choose Hallmark's Holiday Sweetest Suite. In Houston, you can haul out the holly. And in Chicago, you can stay in the Santa Summit. The stays run from November 7th to January 2nd.
For the first time, we are seeing some of the severely injured Palestinians leaving Gaza, along with hundreds of foreign nationals. An update on the war between Hamas and Israel after the break.
It's already starting to look a lot like Christmas. A look at the retail trends and how it could affect your shopping habits. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
We'll follow breaking news here in the WRAL Live Center. That 18-year-old wanted in connection with shooting several people at a party at the Wilson County Fairgrounds turned himself in to police this morning. This is a picture of Brilio Fuentes Martinez. Police have been searching for him for several days after that incident over the weekend where he crashed that party at the Wilson County Fairgrounds. He was asked to leave, and then when he went outside, he grabbed a gun and started shooting at people inside that facility. And while leaving that facility, he also hit another person and damaged a few more cars as he was leaving, as you can see from this video from the WRAL Breaking News crew that was on the scene at the time. Now, again, Fuentes Martinez turned himself in on several charges, including attempted first-degree murder and assault with a deadly weapon with intent to kill, inflicting serious injuries. Those are the types of charges he could face now that he's turned himself in. By the way, the five people who were injured in that shooting all have been released from the hospital. This is a developing story. Look for new reporting coming up in our news starting at 4.
Big update there, Ken. Thanks for that. The state Supreme Court heard oral arguments this morning in a dispute over a Confederate monument in Asheville. WRAL's Brian Schrader is here with a look at that case, Brian.
Jeff, here's the background. A granite monument to Zebulon Vance stood in downtown Asheville for decades. He enslaved people before the Civil War, then later served as a Confederate officer and also as a North Carolina governor and U.S. senator. The city of Asheville and Buncombe County voted to remove that monument in 2021. At the time, a Confederate advocacy group filed a lawsuit to stop the removal. A judge ruled against it. Well, that group appealed, but judges upheld the earlier ruling, saying that the group did not have standing. Well, the state Supreme Court agreed to hear that case, and today in Raleigh, the group's lawyer told justices that it does have standing because of an earlier contract with the city of Asheville to restore that monument back in 2015. Well, a lawyer representing the city said that contract was completed and no longer exists. The pieces of that monument are being stored at an undisclosed location, and the Confederate advocacy group wants to see that monument restored to that park in downtown Asheville. There is no indication on when the state Supreme Court could rule on this case. But coming up today at 4 on WRAL News, Shelley Jackson tells us what one of Vance's descendants has to say about the controversy.
A lot to that, Brian. We'll follow along. Thank you.
And happening now in the WRAL Live Center, a new NBC News Des Moines Register Media.com poll shows the most important issues that are really important to Iowa GOP voters ahead of the January 15th Iowa caucuses. Take a look at your screen. We've broken down those numbers for you. In terms of importance, 81% of likely caucus goers say the economy and inflation are extremely important. Close behind, immigration and border security at 80%. 72% of likely GOP caucus goers say government spending and the deficit ranked third in importance. As for the Hamas-Israel war, 52% say former President Trump would be the best person to handle that war. By the way, at the bottom of that list, in terms of importance, renewable energy and climate change.
Israel is ramping up its airstrikes on Gaza.
Trey Yingst explains some people who have been trapped in Gaza since the war started are now getting a chance to get out of that violence.
A new day bringing more airstrikes inside the Gaza Strip. More than 11,000 targets have been hit since the war started, according to Israel's military. One of those strikes hitting an apartment building in a refugee camp near Gaza City, causing many injuries and deaths. The Hamas-run government is accusing Israel of targeting civilians, but the Israel Defense Forces say Hamas was hiding out and using those inside as human shields.
Senior Hamas leadership are trying to create a picture of a devastated Gaza and Gazans killed because of Israel and its military. They won't be able to hide who is really guilty. It is they themselves who brought catastrophe upon Gaza.
And as Israel's ground operation intensifies, the number of Israeli soldier deaths continues to climb. Still, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vows to see the war through to the end.
Our soldiers have fallen in this most just of wars, the war for our home. I promise you and all citizens of Israel, we will continue until the mission is complete. We will continue until victory.
Hundreds gathering at the Rafah border crossing, hoping to make passage from Gaza to Egypt, with foreign passport holders and critically injured civilians permitted to leave for the first time since the war began nearly 4 weeks ago. At the same entry point, aid trucks were seen bringing supplies into Gaza on Wednesday.
That was Trey Yingst, a Cornell University student accused of social media posts threatening to harm members of the school's Jewish community, is due in court this afternoon. Prosecutors say 21-year-old Patrick Dye published posts in an online discussion forum threatening to shoot up the university's predominantly kosher dining hall. In one post, he wrote he would bring an assault rifle to campus. Dye admitted posting the messages in an interview with the FBI. He faces a maximum sentence of 5 years in prison if convicted.
If you haven't noticed, you will now. Stores are already filling up with holiday decorations as shoppers start hunting for early deals. Economists say a number of factors are affecting how and when we'll get our gifts. Ted Lindner explains.
Stores are already filling up with decorations and gifts as shoppers start hunting for early deals ahead of December.
Thank you so much. Yeah, have a happy holiday.
According to the National Retail Federation, nearly 40% of consumers plan to start crossing off items on their shopping lists earlier than they normally do this holiday season. This strategy can help people spread out their budgets a little better. But retail experts say a slew of economic factors will impact shopping habits this year. And it starts with ongoing inflation, keeping the cost of many everyday items high.
Things like gas and food. That then affects what we have for discretionary spending for other things like big ticket items like TVs or apparel or things like that.
That combined with the end of the student loan repayment pause is expected to impact the buying power of younger parents. Rodney Runyon of Purdue University says these reasons will help fuel online holiday shopping this year and beyond.
Prices are going up. If online you can get a better deal, that's great. Second part of that is logistics, and people aren't necessarily sure when they go into a store if the selection is going to be there, so they might as well shop from home.
High levels of retail theft across the country are also causing some stores to either close or lock up their inventory.
Still to come, we'll take you to the Sand Hills to meet our Teacher of the Week with a unique role, how she links homeschool with the classroom.
And if you're feeling a little angry, maybe you should put it to good use, how new research says it just might be what you need to light your fire. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, just click Report It in the WRL News app.
Our Teacher of the Week is bridging the gap between the homeschool experience and the classroom.
WRL's Brian Schrader is in Southern Pines to honor a teacher who partners closely with families to help students succeed.
We headed out to the playground at McDeeds Creek Elementary in Southern Pines for this week's surprise.
Jamie Perchinsky, you are WRL's Teacher of the Week. Congratulations!
Jamie Perchinsky has been teaching for 16 years, and she says she can't imagine doing anything else.
I love helping people. I love being creative. And just the satisfaction of watching children grow is just something you really can't put a price on. 10 more than 70.
This National Board Certified teacher is part of Moore County's K-5 Blend Ed program. Homeschool students come into the classroom a couple of days a week for face-to-face instruction.
It's great that we get to partner with them as kind of a coach and kind of help them teach their children to make sure that they're on the right track.
Perchinsky teaches them from kindergarten through second grade, and she loves watching them grow. But she says success in the classroom requires a lot of sweat.
Everyone in my family will tell you they had no idea how hard teachers work until I became one. And I really didn't either, but that is what keeps me going.
So we have 28.
Congratulations to Jamie Perchinsky, WRAL's Teacher of the Week. I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
And if you'd like to nominate a teacher, you can go to WRAL.com and enter Teacher of the Week in the search box.
Enjoy it while you can. Daylight saving time goes away in just a few days. Up next, recommendations to help you get a good night's sleep once we gain an hour this weekend. We're all looking forward to getting an extra hour of rest this weekend as daylight saving time comes to an end. But some people might find it difficult to keep their sleep schedule. The night before we set the clocks back, sleep specialists say instead of taking an afternoon nap, go for a walk or jog. That's because exercise can make it easier to fall asleep. Above all, stick to your normal bedtime. Try not to stress too much about the time change.
the more things you try, typically, the more anxiety people have about it, and it actually is more disruptive to sleep. So the more things I'm doing to try to get a good night of sleep. So let it kind of just naturally occur.
Following a healthy diet can also improve the quality of your sleep. Another key to a good night's sleep is to avoid excessive caffeine and alcohol use before bed.
It is the winter white flag season right now. Starting today, folks experiencing homelessness in our area in Wake County have a couple of new places that they can go when the temperatures drop. And joining us to talk about this important initiative here, Pastor Vance Haywood, thank you so much for being here. I know you're the senior pastor at St. John's Metropolitan Community Church. Tell us about the need there was out there to establish these two new facilities in Wake County here.
Yeah, so we see that folks experiencing homelessness numbers rising year after year, especially since the COVID pandemic. And we know all of our existing shelters in the county now are functioning at capacity or over capacity. And so we know that there's a need there. We work with Healing Transitions, and they're running in the drop-in capacity at double what their facility is designed to do. And so there's absolutely a need out there, and especially with the winter weather that we're starting to see already.
How about that, timing-wise, right? We're here talking about this important subject, and the temperatures drop right on cue for that. So the need is there. The need for money is there, too. How are they funded?
So right now, the city and the county are coming together to help fund this and get it started. We've been working with them for a few months to, we've been working with them all year to establish the white flag shelters this year, but really decided to make the decision and open them as drop-in shelters just a few months ago. And so Wake County and the city of Raleigh have stepped up, but we also rely on organizations and individual donors to make it all work.
Okay. Where are they located?
So we have two sites. The primary shelter site is at 401 West Cabarrus Street, and the building right beside of it at 510 South Harrington Street, and that functions as the primary drop-in campus. And then on white flag nights, those extremely cold nights, we open up an additional site at 301 West Jones Street.
How many folks can you accommodate there?
So at the primary Cabarrus Harrington site, we can accommodate 150, and then when we open the Eden Street facility or the Jones Street facility, that adds another 50 beds.
Okay. And accommodations for families, pets, things like that, can you make arrangements?
So families, we have go to the Salvation Army for those winter white flag nights because they're open and able to handle the families and provide the unique accommodations that families with children would have. So we try and get them to those facilities. All of that information is also on our website. If they show up at our shelters, we'll work on getting them there. Just so there's a safe space for the children. We are working on additional spaces and accommodating pets because that is a question that comes up with folks that have pets that want to bring them inside. And so, yes, come. We'll make that work for you. We do have some private accommodations for the pets to get into.
I see. We got some more information, too. I want to show folks out there about those declared white flag nights, the volunteer opportunities, how to donate. You can visit whiteflag.org for all of that. Pastor Vance Haywood, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
Dropping in on us here, and I wish you luck, success.
Right. Thank you so thank much. You. We appreciate it.
Yeah, the need is real, and so wonderful to see that they're helping to fill that need for those who need a warm place to stay, because it is not warm out there at all. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRA Severe Weather Center. Despite all the sunshine out there, our temperatures are really on the cool side.
And, you know, and what a change, too, because we had such warm temperatures over the weekend at the beginning of the week, and then, you know, everything changed yesterday. And we will see our temperatures rebounding again later in the week, but, boy, it's chilly out there right now. This is a look at our current temperatures, 44 in Southern Pines is 48 in Clinton, 47 in Goldsboro and Rocky Mount, 41 in Roxboro. Of course, a few minutes ago, we looked at the impact the wind is having, and it feels about 5 degrees colder than it really is with that wind. We're going to continue to see gusts up to 25 miles per hour this afternoon. We've had some gusts up to 30 just in the last hour or two, but it's also likely that we're going to see those winds tapering off, and the calm winds that we see overnight tonight will actually add to the cooling. If we have wind blowing, it tends to draw down some of the milder temperatures that sometimes are just above the surface as we start to cool things down. Once the sun sets, the daytime heating starts to rise, and if there's a wind, it'll help to circulate it back down to the ground, and it doesn't get as cold. But if it's completely clear out, all of it rises quickly into the atmosphere, cooling the surface and allowing our temperatures to become quite cold, you know, the coldest that we'll likely see that we've seen so far this fall season. This is a look at how it's feeling through the afternoon. Of course, you know, feeling like like, you know, mid to upper 30s at some points, mid 40s as our temperatures climb on up into the 50s. So definitely chilly out there. Again, a look at how cold it will be for tomorrow morning, 25 in Roxboro, 29 Durham, 30 in Raleigh, 29 in Goldsboro and Rocky Mount, 28 in Southern Pines, 31 in Fayetteville and Clinton. So our entire viewing area should drop down below freezing, and we're looking at a hard freeze likely in our northern counties. Friday morning is also likely to be cold, maybe a couple of degrees warmer, 33 Fayetteville, 33 Raleigh, but still 28 in Roxboro, 29 in Southern Pines. So a couple of very cold mornings headed our way. After that, we're going to start to see the temperatures climbing. Saturday morning, 39, but we're back into the 40s on Sunday and Monday, and that's close to normal for this time of year. Again, we have the freeze warning that's in effect for tomorrow morning. And once we see freezing temperatures in the fall, we won't see the Weather Service issuing another freeze warning. This will be the end of the growing season if the temperatures fall into the mid-20s to around 30. And of course, at that point, we can expect more and more freezing nights. We likely will see that again Friday. And temperatures will bounce up a little bit. You know how things go around here. We tend to have a pretty big fluctuation of temperatures through the fall and even the winter. November 1st, the normal high is 68. And November is a big month of change. By the end of the month, our normal high is 58 degrees and our normal low is 37. Of course, the hurricane season lasts until the end of November as well. This particular system down here in the Southern Caribbean looks a little less likely to develop. If it does, it's likely to affect folks in Central America and Mexico as a tropical storm if it ends up developing. Over the weekend, we're warm again. Highs in the low 70s on Saturday and Sunday with some pretty weather. Of course, we do go back to standard time this weekend. Get that extra hour of sleep.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Doesn't it get you fired up when someone tells you you can't do something? Well, it appears there is scientific proof that anger, a little bit of it, can be a great motivator.
And just look at your winning Mega Millions numbers on your screen right now. We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. The WRL Severe Weather Team is tracking even colder temperatures than we saw today. A freeze warning is in effect for all counties starting at midnight and lasting until 9 a.m. The cold snap we are experiencing will last a couple more days before warmer temperatures return.
Veterans are adapting to changes following the cancellation of the North Carolina Veterans Parade. Organizers canceled the parade after learning the city of Raleigh would not allow motorized vehicles. Participants started to drop out of the parade yesterday when the city informed organizers that motorized vehicles would not be allowed.
An 18-year-old surrendered to authorities this morning, days after four people were shot in a birthday party at the Wilson County Fairgrounds. U.S. Marshals Service confirmed to WRL News that Braulio Fuentes Martinez turned himself in. Police say Fuentes Martinez showed up to that party uninvited, and when he was asked to leave, they say he grabbed a gun and started shooting into the crowd of people.
The Texas Rangers could clinch the series tonight in Game 5. The D-backs will be trying to stop that celebration and keep their World Series hopes alive. First pitch for tonight's game is at 8. You can catch all the action on Fox 50.
New research shows anger can improve people's ability to reach their goals. The study examined people who completed various tasks that included difficult puzzles and avoiding objects in a video game. Researchers found the more challenging a goal was, those with anger seemed to be motivated most frequently. Researchers say both positive and negative emotions can be effective tools in promoting behavior in certain situations.
Interesting. Well, we're going to encourage the positive emotions here with our pet of the day from Cat Angels NC. Nikolai is a bundle of sweetness and energy. His super friendly nature makes him the ultimate cuddle companion. Nikolai has a uniquely adorable bunny-like tail and enjoys weaving through your feet. He's a high energy dynamo who would thrive with the company of another young kitty, preferably one of his siblings. Put in an application on the Cat Angels website and bring Nikolai's playful spirit and endless affection into your forever home. NBC News Daily is next on WRAL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You get breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app. Have a great day.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.